Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 7. Not too long ago, I touched on some of this. I'm going to read a little bit more lengthy today, but I won't stop until I get to verse 50, okay? So if you'll turn to Luke chapter 7, look at verse 36. This is one of my favorite stories, and I believe I said the very same thing when I covered just a few verses of it. I'm looking at it in a little different way today. In fact, the title of this message is, But, how's your vision? Can y'all do that? But, how's your vision? We're going to check it. God's doing a vision check here today of all of us. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Did that change the mood of the wording? Mm-hmm. And he saith, Master, say on. And then he starts. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. Now, do you remember us covering the pounds last week? This has nothing to do with the pounds. So if your mind goes back to that message, don't let it, because we're into this one, okay? So one owed 500 pence and the other 50. That's a lot of difference. A huge difference. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. He didn't really want to answer it, but he did. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. Oh, I love this. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Let your mind take you there, because he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, wasn't even looking at him. Because what he had to say involved this woman that he thought so lowly of. I did stop, didn't I? And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, Seest thou this woman? How's your vision? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath... Let me go back. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but... This woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Thy faith have saved thee. When he was talking to Simon, he was talking about her works, what she did. But when he spoke directly to her heart, he says, it wasn't what you did to me that saved you. You were already saved. It's your faith that made the difference. Let's bow our heads and ask the blessing on this meal. Our God in heaven, we thank you for this spiritual meal that we're about to partake of. And Lord, it's going to be so nourishing to our spiritual bodies. I want to thank you for the spirit that's already here. Thank you for Vernon and Diane and their ministry here today. And Lord, I just pray that sweet spirit that's already here today will continue until the end of this service. And we'll praise you for everything you do. In Jesus' name, amen. The buts of the Bible are very interesting. Every time you come upon one, pay close attention to it, because it usually is the thing that hinges the story. In other words, when it swings, the but will cause the door to swing the other way, and it'll give you the rest of the story. There are three people that we're looking at in this scripture today, and one of them is Jesus, the Savior of the world. The other is the Pharisee who hated the Savior of the world. And the other is a sinful woman who loved the Savior of the world. That's the three people that we're looking at. Her love for the Lord had given her a tremendous courage. Love will do that. Have you ever noticed that? Love will do that. And when you fall in love with Jesus, it's a total different love than you've ever had. Totally. And when you fall in love with him, it'll give you the courage to do the things that you think you can't do. As long as we think that we're doing what we do in ourselves, we won't have the courage to step out and do anything for the Lord. But if we know it's for him, I'll guarantee you that if you were going to do something that you might feel like it might embarrass you, you might just not do it. But if someone you love asks you to do it, you may go ahead and do it. More than likely you would, because then you could say, I'm not doing it for me, I'm doing it for him. I'm just saying. So if you're doing it for him, it makes totally a world of difference in what you do. So we have these three people, and we're going to take a good, close look at them. When she knew that Jesus was in the house, that's what made the difference. And I'll show you how that difference is made here. She would actually, when she got in the house, she was going to set the stage for Christ to show what the world needs to see, and that is the wisdom of God. Now, she was setting this up. Had she not come in, Simon would not have learned what he learned this day. And other people who were listening, Simon wasn't the only one in the house, by the way. Anybody else in that house was going to hear the wisdom of God through what Jesus did. They were going to see the love of God. And we say the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. And we believe that, and we feel that at times, don't we? Sometimes it's larger than others. But they were going to be able to see the love of God when Jesus had her and him together in this house. But they were going to see something I believe it was the power of love, but we'll just say the power of God, because we know that the power of God changes lives. We can do a lot of things to change a life. Down here, we might be able to give something to somebody that would change the way they are. If we gave them enough money, they could actually change the way they eat. They could actually change where they live. They could actually change what they drive. They could change a lot of things. But those are all temporary. When God changes a life, he changes a life forever. Now, Simon had never seen this. He had never felt this. He was a Pharisee. But Jesus wasn't wasting his time there in Simon's house. He knew that Simon could be changed. Now, you and I may, our vision may be a little different if we knew that a person was a Pharisee, I mean a real bona fide Pharisee. We may have a change there and say, well, I can't see where he could ever change. But our vision, if that's where we are, our vision needs to be changed. And if you ever have that look at another person, no matter what the difference is, if you ever have that look, stand back a minute and say, my vision is all wrong. I need to change how I see people. So she comes in and things take a different look than what they were before. And we're going to see God at work here. I want to meet this woman. When Amy sings that song, Alabaster Box, just sends me into another orbit somewhere because I know what he did for me. I know what he did for me. And when that song says, you don't know, and you can't know what he did for me, but I know what he did for me, and you know what he did for you. And when she went in and changed things that day, that wasn't the only change she would have made in life. I'll guarantee you. This woman was on a ministry. She was on a mission to change lives, and she was going to do that. But when I get to heaven, I want to meet her. I really want to meet her. I want to thank her for what she did on this day in this scripture, because what she did on this day has changed a number of lives, thousands of lives, because of the story of this woman and Simon. He sought to open Simon's eyes because he cared as much for Simon as he did the woman. Because we know it's whosoever will. You know, he came to die for every one of us. No matter what you think you are, he loves you and he came to die for you. That's the greatest love you'll ever see. But you see, when he came in to Simon's house, did he know that the woman was coming? The answer is yes. He knew she was coming, and he knew what he was going to have to show Simon when he came in. So what he was doing here, as you read this, you see that what he wanted to do was open Simon's eyes, the eyes of his heart. He wants to open the eyes of our heart all the time. He wants us to grow in grace. To do that, we have to open our eyes and see his grace. He wants us to grow in love. To do that, we have to have the eyes opened to his love, because we got to be like him. We've got to love like him. We've got to put other people in favor of us. We've got to put other people above us. We can't be what this world is all about. And he wasn't either. So he came in to change Simon's vision. And to do that, he had to lighten up his eyes. Now, did Jesus say himself one day, I am the light? He did. And that's the light he's talking about here. He's trying to get Simon to see something he has never seen before. And when that happens, and I know that a lot of people who have said, well, my eyes were open to that. You know, when you see something that just really wows you and it opens up your thinking and everything, and you say, boy, my eyes were open to that. I now see what I need to see a long time ago. So he was trying to open his eyes, and he was going to shine a little light in the same way he had done the woman, because he loved Simon just as much, and he wanted Simon to feel what this woman felt. He wanted Simon to do exactly what this woman was doing. He did. Now, he'll never force anyone to do what they need to do. If you're not moved by the love of God and the sweet Holy Spirit in your life to do something, it'll never happen. It will never, never happen. Because, you see, you can't be forced to do things for God. When somebody tells me I have to go to church, I want to say, you might want to change the wording there. because have to in our old East Tennessee language means that somebody's holding a whip over you and they're driving you there. I don't have to be driven anywhere where I'm going to hear the Word of God. I don't have to be whipped to go anywhere where I'm going to hear heaven, where I'm going to hear amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I don't have to be driven to that. I don't have to be driven to a place where I'm going to feel the sweet Holy Spirit of God. I want to be there. I want to go there. Now, this woman was in a little bit different situation here because she knew how Simon felt about her. But the difference in her then and what it would have been then before she got saved and then now was Jesus. He was the difference. She would never have gone to Simon's house had it not been for Jesus. She knew that Simon hated her. She knew that Simon felt like he was so much better than her. I don't want to be around people who think they're much better than me, do you? I'll force myself sometimes just to be right about it. But nobody wants to be around people who feel like that they're better than you. And you can sense it. Goodness gracious, we're not dumb, are we? Well, she was the same way. She would never have gone to this Pharisee's house had she known that Jesus wasn't there. But she did know that, and that's what happened. She would rather have went in the Pharisee. She would rather not have went to the Pharisee's home, but, and there's that other but Jesus was there. That changed the story. And that's what's going to change the story as I go on into it. So make sure you keep that but there because that's where we're going with this. This was not, and I know that some people think that it was, but it was not the first meeting of this sinful woman and Jesus Christ. She had already accepted what he had. She was here because of that. And I'll show you how that's true. And I've heard preachers preach that when she went into the Pharisee's house, she got saved. No, she didn't get saved in the Pharisee's house. She was there because she was. That was the difference. She had already tasted of the forgiveness of God for her sin. Think about that. She had already tasted of the forgiveness of God for her sin. This story is right. She was a sinner. So was I. So were you. And if we had been there this day, the same thing could have been said about us. The Pharisee would have looked at you if you'd went in that house. Doesn't matter if you're male or female. You could have went into that house and the Pharisee would have said the same thing. Why, he's supposed to be a prophet. He couldn't be a prophet. He's in here mingling with sinners. Boy, I'm glad he mingled with sinners. I'm glad he died for sinners. I'm glad he wants to touch the lives of sinners because in doing so, he changed me. He touched me. He made a difference in me, and I'm glad he did. Now, this story goes on to say that she loved much. And we know that she loved much for a specific reason because she was forgiven of much. Did she know how big of a sinner she was? She did. She did. That's why when she was forgiven, that's why she could love like she loved. Now, if you're already saved, you might want to go back and think about this. You see, it doesn't matter how many years you've lived in sin. Sin is terrible. In anybody's life, whether you're 9 years old or 90 years old, it doesn't make any difference. You may say, well, the person who has lived a lot of years has a lot of sin stacked up. God doesn't stack up sin. He just forgives it. And he can forgive the many sins as easily as he can forgive the one sin. Doesn't make any difference. But you see, the Simon looked at his sin differently. So his sin wouldn't be very much. He may have believed that there was sin because he was a religious man. He may have believed that there was sin, but he would never have been a bigger sinner than you. Never. He would have always been looking down on you because his sin wasn't that much. So in looking at it that way, he didn't have to be forgiven of much. But she, on the other hand, had to be forgiven of a lot. So according to this story, she loved much because she was forgiven of much. So Jesus, knowing how Simon was looking at her and to this whole situation, he said, Simon, called him by his name in respect. Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Now, you can let your mind go right there for just a moment if you'd like to. What did he have to say to him? You might come up with some things you think he might say to Simon. Then I'll give you what he said. Sometimes we think we know. We don't always know. But he said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And you say, well, what was it? Well, here's what he said. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. Who was the 500 pence in this story? The 500 pence in this story was the woman. The 50 was Simon. Because you see, that's how Simon looked at himself. The woman said, I'm the 500. But anyway, she didn't have a chance to say that. And then he said, and when they had nothing to pay, both of them owed, but they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. He forgave, even though Simon didn't look at himself as a 500, he was the 500. He forgave him. You see, Jesus didn't look at what he thought of himself. Jesus looked at what he knew of him. And Jesus doesn't look in what you think of yourself. Whether it's a whole lot or a little, it doesn't make any difference. He looks at you inside your heart and he knows you. And he's going to forgive your sin no matter how little or how much that it is. So he says he frankly, I like that word, don't you? Frankly. He just did it. Didn't have to give any thought to it. He forgave them both. He didn't have to say, well, I'll keep this on the books so that one day I can remind them of what I did for them. He's not doing that. He just frankly forgave them. And forgave is the same word that you and I experience when he forgives us. He does away with it. It's gone. It's no more to be brought back up. So if you have sin in your life that you have asked God to forgive you of, it's gone. If you've done that, he forgave it, it's gone. Don't bring it back up. He doesn't want you to. In fact, I believe honestly that it's a sin for you to bring a forgiven sin up to God. Not supposed to. He frankly forgave them both. He said, now tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom forgave the most. He said, well, you said the right thing, son. Now, I don't know. I know Simon wasn't thinking he was the 500. That wasn't where he was, that's for sure. Oh, he believed that God would forgive his little bitty sins, but he wasn't too sure of forgiving the 500. But he said, well, in that case, in the story you've supplied to me, the one who had the 500, that would be it. And he says, you have rightly judged, Mr. Simon. What are we getting to in this story? Well, here's where the story really starts. You say, well, Dan, you've been going on for 15, 20 minutes telling us all this. Now you tell me the story's just starting? It is. The story is just starting. Do I have your attention? I know you're not at Jonesboro Storytelling Days. You're here at Liberty Fellowship Church, and right here is where we'll begin to tell the story. So he turned to the woman. That's the same thing as me turning toward Natasha and speaking to Tom. Now, see, we have a problem with somebody talking to us and not looking at us. Don't tell me we don't. We do. If your child, if you have a conversation with your child and you're trying to get their attention and they're not looking at you, you're going to say, look at me, right? Look at me, because you know that's the proper way to do it. If you're going to speak to somebody, look at them. But you see, he had to get Simon's attention, and this was how he was going to do it. Nothing would have gotten his attention more than this. So he looks at Natasha, and he says to Tom, or he looks at the woman, and he says to Simon. I like it. Now, here's what he said. Seest thou this woman? How's your vision, Simon? Do you see the woman I'm looking at? I'm looking at her. Now, how do you see her? Do you see her? In other words, how's your vision, Simon? He used the sinner. He used the woman that he knew this man disdained in his life. He used her to show him what he was looking at, what the way he was seeing life itself. And he didn't do this. I had never, all the years I've been preaching, I never exactly saw it this way. But I am so glad to be able to show it to you, because when a light bulb comes on to me, I want to turn it on for somebody else. So, he didn't do this in a matter of spirituality. Even though this woman was spiritual in the fact that she now had a relationship with Jesus Christ, and what a relationship it was. He didn't go there with this. He couldn't go there. Simon couldn't understand that. A lost person cannot understand spiritual things. So he didn't take Simon there in a spiritual sense. You know how he took Simon to see, let him see what he was like? In the sense of manners. Did the light bulb come on? If it hadn't, it will here in just a minute. He did this in the way of manners. Simon's manners were terrible. So what did he say then? Well, here's what he said. You brought me no water for my feet. You see, it was customary that when somebody entered your house there, that you brought water in to wash their feet, because they walked on dusty roads. They didn't have a nice car to get in and get out on concrete and pavement and stuff. When they walked, their feet got dusty, tired, and hot, and so it was a customary thing to give them water and wash their feet. Well, he says, you brought me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Is there a difference in no water, or that she washed his feet with the tears that came from her eyes? You see, what had happened here is that the love of God had prepared her for this visit, because when she came in, she went directly to his feet. Read it. She went directly to his feet. And by the way, she didn't go in front of him. She went in back of him. She walked up behind him and went down to his feet. She washed his feet from the back, because she didn't feel worthy to stand in front of him. She loved him so much that when she went down, that love caused her eyes to well up. Have you ever had your eyes to well up? And then when they get full, they fall over and they drip down your cheeks and down your face. And folks, I'm telling you, there's something real about that. There is something real about that, that when you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're His child and that He loves you so much that it wells up inside you and then it begins to roll down your cheeks. And that's exactly what she used to wash His feet, to wipe His feet. Well, what a love that is. Oh, what a love that He gave me. Oh, what peace in my soul. And she went down behind Him to His feet. And she took those tears in her hand and washed His feet. Then she took the thing most glorious to her body and she wiped His feet with her hair. The hair is a woman's glory. And she took that precious hair that was so special to her. And all the ladies here have that sense because it's always been there. Your hair is so important to you, isn't it? It is. And she wiped His feet with her glory because she loved Him so. But she didn't stop there. He went on to say to Simon, "Thou gavest me no kiss." Now this wasn't a gay thing here, folks. This was a customary thing for when you went into the brother's house, you gave a brotherly holy kiss or whatever you want to call it. And it was a cheek kiss thing and they still do it today in a lot of countries. But he said, "When I came in, you didn't give me that holy kiss. You didn't give me that brotherly kiss." Well, for one thing, he didn't feel about him that way, so he couldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. He said, "Your manners were terrible. You should do that to everybody who comes in your house." The same way we feel about Liberty Fellowship. When folks come in those doors back there, they're in our house. We should treat them with total love and respect. He said, "You didn't give me a kiss." But this woman, do you think he knew her when he said this woman? He was looking right at her. He was looking in her eyes. Since the time I came in, or she came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Now, I've read that story many times, but I never thought about looking up the word kiss, because everybody knows what a kiss is, right? But the kiss here in this one verse of Scripture means smothered in kisses. Smothered in kisses. It's not just a kiss. It's smothered in kisses. She couldn't get close enough to His feet. Even though she'd been wiping them with her hands and drying them with her hair, she needed to get closer. And so she kissed His feet and kissed His feet. He said, "Since the time she came in, she's been kissing my feet." What a love! What a love that she had for Jesus! Customary. I think of that song we sing a lot. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. And he said, my head, he's gone from his feet to his head. He said, in my head with oil thou didst not anoint. That was another customary thing. His manners were terrible. He wasn't wasting anything on him. But this is where she opens up what she brought to do, what she was going to do. She was so prepared. She opened up the alabaster box. Now, the alabaster box was sealed. It was sealed. And you don't break the seal for just anything. You don't break the seal for just anything. But this was her Lord. This was her master. This was the one she loved. And she had been kissing his feet, washing his feet, drying his feet. And now she opens the alabaster box. And the aroma from that alabaster box filled that room. It absolutely filled that room. And she was the one who brought it in, because she knew what she was going to do with it. So she anointed him. The thing that Simon didn't do that should have done, she anointed him with the oil from the alabaster box. And there would have been those who would have said, you surely didn't waste that on him. You surely didn't waste that on him. And I'm talking to a people who knows what I'm talking about. Would you have wasted it? If you were there with Jesus, the one who saved your soul? It wasn't a waste. It was her privilege. So she opened it. It was like when the high priest went into the most holy place. And before he went into the Holy of Holies, Lordy mercy, before he went into the Holy of Holies, he lit the incense. And the incense, that sweet smell and savor that went up before God's nostrils. And don't you know that when she broke the seal on that alabaster box and that sweet aroma went up, it went before the very nostrils of God, God the Father, from God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And here's what Jesus said to her. Not because this was just happening. That's not because this was just happening. This had already happened. What he was doing was he was reminding her. Verse 47. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And here was the final one. Thy faith hath saved. He was reminding her of this. Your faith is what saved you. Thy faith hath saved thee. Now you go in peace. Oh, she already had peace, but she said, you go in peace. You go on out there with other people now. You take what you've got and you share it with others. Now, this world would say, you don't force religion on anybody. But we need to take it. We need to give them, the opportunity to know what we're talking about. And our love for Him should give us that courage to do that. Wow. What a love story. What a love story. And it has to do with a sinner and the Savior. Let's bow our heads. There may be somebody in here this morning who wants to give your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never been, as Vernon talked about a few minutes ago, maybe you've never been born again. Maybe you've never made that decision. And I'm looking back at a couple of people that have just made that decision recently. Boy, am I glad, because your life has been changed forever. But someone may be here who needs to make that change. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this time, for this message. And I thank you, Father, for reminding all of us what you did for us. We know how huge it was, because we know how huge our sin was. And we praise you for forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please. Now, as we stand, we're going to sing one verse of this invitational hymn. We always give an invitation. If you want to be saved today, all you got to do is walk out from where you are and walk on forward. I'll meet you right here at the front. Would you do that? Far from the peaceful shore. Sing it loud.
Love lifted me.
Don't forget where you're going at 4 o'clock, okay? Rotary Park. Chris will tell you where to go, okay? Please make sure you're there. Tawana, who in the world is that with you? Gary, it's so good to see you, brother. We had a good talk in the hospital. He's not in the hospital anymore. But that doesn't mean that he does not need our prayers, okay? Please give him your love and your prayers. Buddy, it's good to see you. Always, always good to see you. And it's good to see every one of you. I want to see you. I almost thought of a commercial. See you in a Kia or something like that. I want to see you at 4 o'clock, okay? Please be there. We might even have some, what's that game where you throw that bag? What is it, Jonah? Yeah, Jonah knows. But if Drew's there, Jonah and Drew cannot play together. That's the rule. It has to be the rule, right? So y'all come and we'll have a decent chance of beating somebody. Okay, let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. God is really, really, really good. He is.